You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 18. Luke chapter 8, 1 through 18. This is God's Word. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is traveling. He's going from place to place, village to town, and along the way, people are gathering and following him. And it lists at the start some of those who are traveling with him, including not only the 12 whom he had named apostles, but also including a group of women who out of their own wealth were helping to support Jesus and his disciples. And one of those, you might note, is the wife of the manager of Herod's household. Herod, you remember, is the ruler, and he is a bad man, a wicked, immoral man. But the wife of the guy who manages Herod's household is traveling with Jesus and helping pay the bills. Interesting. Now, as the crowds are gathering, people are going along with Jesus, Jesus tells a story. He tells a parable. And this parable is not real long, but it's real important. And after Jesus tells the parable, he says, it says he calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Some years ago, I was blessed to have a sabbatical from my leadership at the ranch, and I took that opportunity to work on some further education. I had already gotten my master's years ago, but in order to be the headmaster of the school, I have to keep getting more education, which is why I gave up being the headmaster a couple of years ago. It's a continuing education thing. And I had to write a kind of a thesis, do a research project and write a thesis for this particular course that I was taking. And I decided that would be a good thing, a good way to use my time on my sabbatical, because sabbaticals are supposed to be a time of rest, you know. And I took my family. I'd been traveling a good bit, and I had earned a lot of points with the Hilton family of hotels, and so I had enough to pay for a stay at a lovely resort down in Florida, where when it's winter here, it's hot there. And I thought, that's just perfect. That's what we'll do. So we went, and when I checked in, they gave me a packet of materials, because I'm an honored VIP with Hilton at that time. And so they gave me a packet of materials, and I took it and went up to my room, and we got everybody settled in. We had a couple of the kids with us, and they were much younger at that time. And this was going to be good for them, because they could play on the beach, and my wife could go out and walk with them, and I could do my work. And after working quite a bit, I went out to find the family, and as we came back, I saw that there was this beautiful buffet out by the pool with tons of good food. And I thought, wow, this is really neat. This is, you know, somebody's having quite a spread here. But we walked right past it, and we went up to our room, and we made arrangements to go somewhere, probably McDonald's or something for supper. We may have gone to some place that sells fish, which is what you should do in Florida. But anyway, what I found at the end of my time, when I was looking through the stuff they'd given me to see if we should keep any of this or just pitch it, one of the things that was there was a lovely invitation to the manager's reception, which was that buffet that I had been invited to be a guest along with my family, and I'd gone right past it. I'd missed the whole thing. It was intended for me and my family, and we were invited, and it was provided, and we missed the whole thing. We got to have Mickey D's. Instead of all these delicacies that looked so good and free soft drinks, oh, what a marvel. I missed it because I wasn't paying attention. I literally was given the invitation when I checked into the hotel. But I missed it because I didn't pay attention to the message. Did you know that God invites the world to receive forgiveness and eternal life with Him forever? And did you know that most people don't pay attention to the invitation? Now, suppose that I had gotten the invitation and thought, oh man, we don't want to miss that. But then I got distracted by other things and I didn't even see the buffet when it was put out there because I was watching a movie or taking my family shopping or some other, and so we still, same net effect.
Okay? You can ignore the invitation or you can just lose track of priorities. And either way, you miss out. Jesus told a story. He told a story that a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Jesus goes on to elaborate with his disciples, they had no root. If you want to have moisture, you got to be able to drill down. You got to put down roots because the moisture doesn't just sit up on top for long. They had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. They never matured, Jesus said. And still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. 100 times more than was sown. And the disciples heard the parable, and then they heard Jesus say loudly, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Have you got ears? Are they to hear with? Jesus is saying, now listen. Listen, pay attention. Let the word of God that is spoken to you take root in your life and bring forth a harvest, because what it is given for is not just for you. It is for you, but it is for you to share. No one lights a lamp and then covers it up. The purpose of lighting the lamp is that it might shine and give light to others. Jesus says that there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. Eventually, everybody's going to see. Eventually, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing is concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. You may think that you're getting away with something. Nobody's going to know. They can't prove it. But God knows. God knows what you're up to. God knows what you think. God knows what you say in secret. God knows. And it's eventually all going to come into the light. That's a promise from God. Therefore, trying to live with things in secret is a fool's errand. Jesus said, it's all going to come out into the light. And therefore, whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. I have been involved with churches and ministries my whole life. My dad was a pastor. And I not only knew our churches, but because of his life, I knew about a lot of other people in ministry and things that went on in various ministries. And I'll tell you something. There are things that look this way for a while, and then you find out, wow, I didn't understand what was really going on. I didn't recognize what was happening behind the scenes. Is that the reason we should be suspicious of others? No, it's a reason we should not think for a minute that we're going to be able to get away with stuff that we shouldn't.
You understand? It's not a reason to look at other people and say, well, you know, looks like he's doing okay, but I don't know. That is a perverted way of looking at this. Instead, you need to realize that just because you're able to put on a facade, just because you're able to say the right things and give the right smile and nod of the head and so forth, that doesn't mean things are as they should be. What's happening in your heart? How are you responding to the Word of God? Jesus said the reason that he spoke in parables, and this, I mean, some people just find this, well, no, he couldn't have meant that. Well, it's what he said. I believe he meant what he said. What the Bible says is what it means. And Jesus said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. That is a quote from Isaiah. Jesus is there quoting the Old Testament where God says, this is what's going to happen. So was Jesus trying to be misunderstood? No. Jesus said what is happening is exactly what God said would happen. It was necessary for the Messiah to be rejected in order that he might die, in order that we might be saved. And even people who rejected him and who were a party to his crucifixion could be saved if they would come to trust in him. But Jesus was fulfilling the plan of the Father. He was saying and doing what the Father told him to say and to do. And Jesus knew that when he spoke in parables, the majority of the people would stay on the broad road that leads to destruction. Do you know what happens to people who understand and reject the message? Greater judgment than those who don't understand. Greater judgment than those who've never heard. Everyone, every one of us sins by rejecting the truth we know. We don't all know the same thing. We don't all bear the same responsibility. The more you know, the more you're responsible for. But even the person who lives some remote place and has never had a presentation of the gospel knows that there is a God who is greater than the things they serve, and knows that they have done things that are wrong. And if the response is to try and justify oneself, that person is headed for hell. If the response is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know who you are. I don't have great knowledge, but I know that I've messed up. And oh, please, have mercy on me. Forgive me. God will make sure that those people get the truth. And some of the most amazing missionary stories are the stories that have happened throughout the history of the church, of God's people who did not hear the message until they traveled a long way, or a messenger traveled a long way to them. When our friends, the Sawyers, were called by God to minister in a place called Masai Mara, they found out after they had chosen a place to build their little church and to start having meetings that years before, one of the wise men of the Masai tribe
had told the people that he had had a vision that a man would come and stand under that tree and tell them the truth about God. Well, our friend didn't know that, but God did. The same God who gave that vision to the wise man sent our friend and sent him to that tree. And that's where he set up to begin inviting people to come and learn the Bible in their own language. How'd that happen? Well, God was preparing his people to receive his word, and he gave them ears to hear. The people that spoke the same language as the headhunters that my son Andrew went to seek to bring the gospel to when he had just turned 18 years old, living in a remote, remote place. He was to minister to those on top of the mountain. The people who lived down the mountain spoke the same language and had become believers in Jesus, but they were afraid to go up the mountain and tell their relatives for fear that they would be martyred. And they loved Jesus, but not that much. And so they were not fruitful as they should have been. But do you know how they got saved? The ones who spoke the same language but lived down the mountain? Generations before, I believe it was in the 1920s, some of their leaders had a vision that they should pray and put their hands on this animal. It was a domesticated animal. And when they did so, the animal would lead them to the place where they could hear the truth about God. And so they did so, and the animal immediately started down a trail. And so they followed. For days, that animal went from place to place to place to place, just continuing on. And they followed until many miles from their village, that big cow stopped outside a little hut and just stood there. And so they went to the hut and as best they could communicated with the person inside that they had followed the cow to learn about God. The place where the cow stopped was a missionary from the West who was living in that hut trying to reach people with the gospel. They overcame the language barrier, which can be done when you want to. Takes a little time, takes some effort. But he was able to communicate to those elders from that place the gospel of the kingdom of God and the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. And they believed, and they went back to their people. And the missionary, as I recall, went with them. And that group of people became followers of Jesus. They believed the gospel. They were so glad their sins were forgiven. Now, what do we do? Well, I guess since the folks up the hill are headhunters like these people used to be, you pray for them and hope that they will send a cow to lead them to the truth. Not a good plan. Those who are in Christ Jesus need to be ready to lose their head in order to bring the gospel to others. But these people didn't. And decades went by. And finally, some Western missionaries again decided, we're going to go try and reach the people on top of the mountain. And my son Andrew signed up for the team. And we're so thankful that God brought him back. Let me tell you something. God scatters the seed everywhere The gospel's going forth in all kinds of situations. I've heard stories of people who found the Lord reading a Gideon Bible. I know a dear guy who's traveled the world, and I invited him. He's real big on evangelism. I invited him years ago in about 1986 to speak to our church in Atlanta about evangelism. And I was dismayed when he was sharing some of the crazy ways that you can spread the word. And one of the things he suggested was, you can take a gospel tract and go into a restroom and roll it up inside the roll of tissue so that when somebody comes to that point in the roll of tissue, the tract will fall out and they may read it and get saved. And I thought, that is just gross. That is sick. How could a person possibly find a tract that someone rolled inside a roll of tissue and think this must be the truth? You know, I mean, that makes no sense. That's a way to lose credibility. That's not a way to reach people for Christ. About 15 years later, I was speaking to a church in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I was sharing how not to do evangelism, and I use that as an example of things not to do. And immediately, one of the people in the group turned to the guy next to him and said, well, you need to share your testimony with him. Guess how that guy came to faith? He was in a men's room, and he found a gospel tract rolled up inside the bathroom tissue. And he read it. And God pierced his heart with the gospel. And he prayed and received Christ. And now, years later, he was living for Jesus. And he's sitting there trying to learn from me how to share his faith. Oh. Crazy, isn't it? I'm still not recommending that as a method of evangelism. But I want you to understand something. Jesus said that the farmer scatters the seed all over the place. And that is the truth. There are all kinds of ways. Some of the TV and radio preachers that I just think, oh, how could anybody possibly come to Christ through that? But they do. They do. Because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. It's not about what color your hair is. It's not about your wardrobe. It's about the gospel. There are people who don't know Jesus who preach the gospel and others get saved. Because the gospel's true whether or not the messenger is. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there will be those who will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? God honored his word even when spoken by people to whom he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Don't think for a minute that God can't use somebody that you think is subpar. But don't think for a minute that just because God honors his word when you share it, that that means you're automatically in. Because it doesn't. You see, there's nothing secret that won't be revealed. So better to come on out into the light, live in the truth, confess your sins. Jesus said, the reason I speak to them in parables is so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. So I'll tell you now, he says, the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. If they were to believe, they would be saved. If they were to truly trust and obey, they're saved.
but they don't really receive the word. It's just like that invitation to the banquet that I didn't read until it was time to leave the hotel, and we'd already missed it. I missed my opportunity. And my family missed the opportunity because I didn't pay attention to the message. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. In another gospel, when Jesus tells this story, he says, when the sun comes out, they wither up because they have no root. When it gets hot, when it gets costly, when the time of testing comes, they fall away. Some of you, in this environment, believe. You're even excited about it. And then break comes. And you're in a different kind of environment. And instead of people encouraging you to do the right thing, people are sometimes encouraging you to do the wrong thing. How do you respond? That'll tell you whether or not you're putting down roots. That'll tell you whether or not you're digging deep and saying, I'm more committed to this than I am to my biological relatives, to my friends back home. I love Jesus because of what he did for me. I've seen people stand true. I was praying this morning for one of our students, and I was reminding the Lord of one of our, actually three of our other students who were from the same family. And when their dad pulled them out of the ranch on impulse, they led him to Christ. When they got back home to live with their dad, they said to him, if you want us to be a part of this family, you need to go to church because we're going, and it'd be a whole lot better if you'd drive us. And so dad started driving them to church, and next thing you know, dad was coming inside and attending church, and next thing you know, dad was hearing the gospel. Next thing you know, dad came to faith in Christ. Let me just tell you something. It's not enough to receive the word with joy if you don't put down roots. And then there were those who received the word, but the word was not the most important thing. Worries, riches, and pleasure choked the plant. Yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I want to make a lot of money. Yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm really concerned about what other people are going to think about me. Yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but excuse me, I'm having too much fun right now. Don't let worries or riches or pleasures keep you from being fruitful. If you want to be a fruitful servant of God, you've got to get the other stuff out of the garden. You've got to say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. I'm not saying that's wicked. Money isn't bad. But if money competes for your affection and your energies, because, you know, I want to make time for God, but only so much time, because I got to have time for this. I want to follow Christ, but you know, this thing over here, this is so much fun. I live for football. We had a young man here years ago, delightful guy, intelligent, athletic. He said, Pastor Wood, my mom wants me to come home and live with her so I can go to the public high school and play football. I said, what do you believe you should do? And he said, well, I know I do much better when I'm here. I'd like to stay here. And I said, well, we're glad to have you. You're on full scholarship, and I'm glad to have you. And he said, well, I'm really torn. And I said, just because you love your mom? He said, no. He said, I'm not going to see that much of her either way. But he said, I really do love football. I would love to play football. I said, well, you know, all we've got is tag football down on the soccer field. But you can definitely still be developing your athletic gifts without being on a football team. He said, well, I just haven't decided. And I said, well, we'll be praying for you. Well, we did pray for him. And when I got back together with him, I said, okay, have you made your decision? He said, yes, I have. I said, what do you believe God wants you to do? He said, I know God wants me to stay here. And I said, well, then I'm happy for you to stay. He said, but Pastor Wood, I'm going to go. I said, you believe God wants you to stay, but you're going to go? And he said, yes, sir. Man, was I sad to hear that. I was also sad, though not surprised, when in his first year on the football team, he absolutely blew out his knee, and it was so severe that they told him, you can't play football anymore. It wasn't like you need to rehab. It was, your knee is toast. And if you want to be able to walk, you need to stay off the football field. Jesus said that there are those who receive the word, but they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not bear fruit. They do not mature. They stay immature, unfruitful. The seed on the good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You don't immediately produce a crop. It's not like, well, if you're really saved, who have you led to Christ this first month? Nobody at this point. Well, that's okay. You know what you need to do? You need to put down roots. You need to grow. You need to mature. And do you know what will happen if you focus on following Jesus, learning what he says, doing what you learn? You'll bear fruit. You know how I know that? Because God says so. You will bear fruit. If you will focus not on bearing fruit, no fruit. Don't focus on bearing fruit. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his word. Listen. Listen to his word. And believe what he says. And persevere in obedience. And you will, by persevering, produce a crop. So, what you have, you'll be given more. But those who do not, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Let's pray. Father, apart from you, we can do nothing. But we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. Everything you've called us to do is possible because of Jesus, because of the risen Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit. So help us, we pray, to listen to your word and believe what you say and put it into practice. And we will be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen.